Be seated. If you'd like to read along as I read aloud in just a moment, John chapter 19, I'll read just five or part of six verses, I think. Yeah, page 905 again in the Bible that's supplied to you there. Before I read the scripture, let's pray. Father, we marvel again that you've let us know what you think and who you are and who we are because of you. It's all right here in the word that you breathed. We ask you now to come and breathe on us. We ask a supernatural thing. We ask that you would, by your Spirit in this room among us gathered, do something that would stand forever, that would draw us ever into Jesus, and in Him we live. And so that's what we ask, and we ask it in His name, the name of Christ. Amen. This is God's word. Hear it. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. And they came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Thus far, the reading of God's word. He blesses it to his people. Just two main things. We're just a few minutes in his word this afternoon. We're going to look at the thorns, and we're going to look at the crowns. At the beginning, there weren't any thorns to bother the man. There might have been thorns outside the garden. We don't know. In the garden, there were no thorns. When Adam and Eve walked through the garden in the cool of the day, they never stepped on a thorn. And when they worked the garden, nary a thorn came up to bother their work. They lived a thornless life. And it was that way, would have been still, but it was that way until the man broke with the Lord. He broke. He rejected the love of the Lord God, and he despised his word, and he just did something else. And so the Lord drove the man. If you look back, this term, the man, in Genesis chapter 1, we just read it over and over again. In Hebrew, it's just the man, the man, the man. And he says, so God created, in verse 27 of chapter 1, he says, God created, my translation says man. It actually is God created the man. It's repeated over and over again, the man, in verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. He's the man. The old King James, at some point in the narrative, switches over and starts translating the very same two words as Adam. It's the same word, Adam and man. But over and over again, it's the man, the man. And then, so when the man broke with the Lord, we read in chapter 3 that the Lord drove, hear it, listen for it, the man. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, placed the guard. He drove the man out where the thorns were. And through the rest of Scripture, you can get one of your Bible programs. Just stick thorn in there. How about that? Just look for thorn. And over again, thorns are always a problem. Anywhere there's a thorn, it meant thorns ruin fields. Enemies, over and over, you read the prophets, over and over again, the enemies are referred to as the thorns. And of course, we know there are thorns in the flesh. Thorns. Thorns became both literally and figuratively, figurative, that is, a symbol of the curse. You want to know what the curse looked like? It was a thorn. And so we turn to our passage, and the man, it's the same term. If you were to read the Greek Old Testament, the Old Testament translated Greek, the same term that God has used to say he created the man, he put the man in the garden, he drove the man out of the garden. Now we have Pilate bringing Christ out, beaten, robed in a mock, you know, a mockery, and he sticks a curse on his head. Sticks the, what better way to describe the curse than but to put thorns on him? He sticks the thorns on him, and as he does it with kind of dripping with sarcasm, with mockery. Pilate was, he was not only mocking Jesus, the man, he was mocking the Lord who made him, and he was, in effect, mocking everyone who ever bore the image of the man, every son of Adam. Jesus was the least glorious, well, Dave just read it. We read through Isaiah. You couldn't even look at him. He was, you know, you see things occasionally that run across the screen that you're looking at, and you say, I'm not watching that. And that's what Jesus was. He was unbearable. But Pilate spoke more. It's remarkable. By God's providence, he put more truth in the mouth of Pilate than Pilate could ever have imagined. He looks at this man on a Friday, by the way. It was a Friday. We call it Good Friday. What day of the week was the man back in Genesis chapter 1 when God created the man and put him in the garden? What day of the week was it? It was the sixth day. It was a Friday. Another Friday comes the man. Pilate announces, listen, you can't keep God from doing what God is doing. You just can't do it. There's nothing we can do to keep the Lord God from getting what he planned to do done. Even Pilate comes and he announces a new creation. Do you need one? I do. I do on Friday. I need a new creation. Pilate says, against his will, as it were. He had no idea what he was saying. Here's the new man. The psalmist, you know, Pilate was mocking humanity. Remember the psalmist says, I'll just read it to you, Psalm 8. You ever read this and kind of wonder, really, given what I know about the life I've seen? And the psalmist says, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, and you've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you've crowned him with glory and honor? You ever think, really? On this Friday? And Pilate says, yes, behold the man. A little later in our codex-bound scriptures, we read in the book of Hebrews, we do not see all things put under him, that is, man, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the heavenly beings, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Tonight we behold the man. We come to this table and we behold the man who brings many. Would you come? He brings many sons to glory. I'll just do the table from up here, and then Dave and I will place ourselves here and here with bread and cup. And if you'll just, probably the easiest way to do it is come down the aisle next to where Dave, come down this aisle and then come down that aisle where Molly just came, and then take from me, take from Dave. There's receptacles for the empty cups here. There will be one on the middle table as well. We're going to sing in just a few minutes. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch a treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. We'll sing later in that song, I will not boast of anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. If that's your boast tonight, this is your table. This is not the table of Covenant Presbyterian Church. This is the table of King Jesus. If you're a member of His church, a member of good standing, of a church that preaches Christ and faith in Him alone is the way to know Him, then you come in and you know Him all the better. You come and take and eat and know that this King is ours.